Welcome to the CGMA Magazine podcast series, a service of the American Institute of CPAs and the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants. This series features discussions with Chartered Global Management Accountants and other experts about the topics, trends, and technologies that are transforming the accounting profession.
Welcome to the CGMA Magazine podcast series. I'm Editorial Director Jack Hagel. In today's episode, Senior Editor Sabina Vollmer speaks with Ann Giffels. She's the Director of Income Tax Technology at the Chicago office of tax services firm Ryan. Giffels provides tips on how accountants can successfully manage projects and become change agents for their organizations. We caught up with her this month at the AICPA's Global Manufacturing Conference in Denver, Colorado, where she was presenting on project management. Here's Sabina.
Why do we need to learn how to manage a project? What's so difficult about project management?
Well, I think part of it is that the accounting profession typically does not follow a lot of the guidelines of project management. It's a really helpful tool for us to learn. We tend to dive into our spreadsheets just to get the work done. Project management actually gives you a structure, to make sure that the work is done effectively and as efficiently as possible.
And are there some challenges that you encounter with project management that you least expect?
I think part of it is the rigor and the discipline that comes with project management that does, because people just want to get stuff done. We're time constrained, we're often budget constrained, and sometimes we feel that going through the steps of a project causes us to spend more time or spend more money, but really in the long run, it works better because you generally have fewer defects, you have higher customer satisfaction if you actually take the time up front.
So you're hoping if you show them the processes, since they're rule-oriented, then they'll follow the processes and the rules, and the project will come out better in the end?
Yeah, the interesting thing I've learned, and I'm an accountant myself, is that accountants are very solution-oriented. They're not as careful about how they get to the solution. The solution itself is what's important. Project management requires you to be more process-oriented, that you have to actually trust the process. And that's difficult for us to let go of, is to really trust that the process will give us the right answer. We have a tendency to double-check our answers. So I think one of the things that I have learned is project management is just so very different from our way of getting work done. So we sort of have to force ourselves into this discipline. But as you said, being rule-oriented helps, because we like checklists. We like checking things off. So a project management type of arrangement will give you more opportunities to be able to check things off and make sure they get done.
In your presentation, you mentioned that one role of a project manager is change agent for the organization. That sounds really big. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, it's big and it's kind of frightening sometimes for people. And I think one of the things that's a difference for accounting people is we have a tendency to look backwards in time because we're reporting results that have already occurred. So being a change agent means you need to be more forward-looking and look ahead and understand what the future might hold. So people in general, and this is true in life, don't like change. They don't like to be taken out of their comfort zone, and it's, you have to be resistant to that. Or you are resistant to that, so you have to understand the resistance and try and understand where their concerns are coming from and address those concerns instead of, what we often do sometimes is we'll force somebody into change, and forcing somebody into change never works. It's got to be collaborative. It has to be a goal of the group to able to take that change, and then you have to help them through the scariness of it.
And how does that being a change agent factor into project management?
Well, what's important, what often happens with a project is you're often introducing either new technology, a new system, something that's new to the organization. A project distinguishes itself from day-to-day operations because it's short-term. It's something that isn't already occurring at the organization. So because of that, you're introducing something new. Change comes with that. One of the things I do in my job is I help clients use new software. So what I have to do often is get them to stop using their spreadsheets and use the new software. And one of the things that we fight against is that they continue to use the software as a check. They continue to use their spreadsheets as a check, even though this new software is in place to help them out. So as a change agent, I often have to wean them off the spreadsheets and make sure that they are comfortable with the results they're getting from their new process or their new software.
So are you looking for a particular kind of person to manage a project? And if so, what kind of person you're looking for?
Yeah, project manager has to have a lot of skills. The project team itself can have certain specialty areas, but the project manager has to be the kind of person that can evaluate who's on the project team and get the best from them that they can. So you do have to wear many hats, and that's what a project manager has to be able to do, is they have to be able to adapt to what's going on around them, but at the same time, not get lost in the weeds and keep the project on track.
Is there one approach that's better than the other, or does it depend on the project?
A great question. There are many different approaches, and there isn't any one that is universally adopted. And what we find, too, from one organization to the next, they may emphasize or de-emphasize certain aspects. So there's basic phases. So there's like the initiating phase, the planning phase, the doing phase, the kind of monitor phase to make sure everything stays on track, and the closing phase. Those are major phases, but each approach may emphasize or de-emphasize different parts of that. And different companies may choose not to do certain parts, or they may combine a couple together. It also depends on the size of the project. If you're building a hospital, for example, you really need to be very rigorous in how you manage the project. But if it's something that's, just a 2 or 3 week effort, you can sometimes skip some of the project phases or part of the projects. So I'm sorry to say there isn't any one that everybody adopts and everybody likes. And I will say, too, some of them are more amenable to different types of projects.
So can you give me a couple of examples of what approach would work for what project?
Yeah, a lot of people use the agile approach for software implementations or software development. And that's partly because when you're developing software, your end goal, you know what it is, but actually how you get there could change because of what you're doing. So agile is very iterative. So what you do is you reach a certain milestone and then you reevaluate what's your next step, what's your final goal. So agile really lends itself to software development. So it does depend on the type of project you're undertaking to see which one will work best for you.
Why is that? Is that because of the drawbacks of the approach, or how the steps are, or how do you know which approach works for which task or problem, whatever you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, wow, that's great to know, because it's sort of like you don't know what you don't know. So if you didn't know that Agile was out there and you're undertaking a software project, you may take a different approach and find yourself not really working effectively. So I think part of it is certain organizations have these project management offices, that they have project management professionals that make a career out of this and know their industry. So they may lean on them. Obviously, I'm a consultant, but I can also say sometimes using a consulting firm, because they see many, many different environments and can give you some advice on what the best approach is. So it is important to pick the best project, but at the same time, if you're choosing, as long as you're putting in the discipline and the rigor and the guidelines of a project, you're really better off than if you just sort of make it up on your own.
What do you do when you get into a project and you realize this approach isn't working?
Mm-hmm.
Do you just stop and switch, or right, do you muddle through?
Right. That is an important question to ask, too, because it's expensive to stop. It's expensive to muddle through and get it wrong. So it is important to monitor. One of the phases is this monitoring phase that you're and it starts from the very beginning. You have to make the best business decision you can that you're going to do the project, and you have to watch it from day one. Are you on track with you know, whatever it is you're accomplishing, are your milestones meeting expectations? Because the earlier you can catch those problems and you may have to abort or change direction, the less expensive it is. The further you go along, the worst thing you can do, I think, maybe is the muddle through, because unless you are absolutely certain that the muddle through will work. But that's probably one of the worst things you can do, because it can get very, very expensive.
So there, you talked about that there are phases or steps in a project's life cycle. How do you keep track of what has been accomplished and what needs to still be done?
That comes through watching different parameters. So, and it depends on how rigorous, how specific you want to get. There are analytical formulas that help you understand if, say, a schedule is still on track, if the budget's on track. It's very, very important to do update status reports constantly, once a week throughout the project. If you feel you need to do it more often than once a week, that's fine. But that monitoring process is so crucial. And there are statistical formulas, analytical formulas that you can apply to see if you're still on track.
So it's more than having a checklist and checking the box.
Yes, because the checklist will tell you you've done the steps. The checklist doesn't tell you did you do them right. One of the examples people use is building a bicycle, the process of building a bicycle. So you say, okay, well, I've built the gears. Do the gears meet specifications? Now I've built the handlebars. Do the handlebars meet specifications? You don't wait till you've assembled the entire bike to find out that the gears don't work. So what you do is you break a project into pieces, and you have measurable milestones that you can evaluate. Are you still on track or not?
Is there an accepted time frame or a traditional time frame in which a project should be completed? Because I suspect that there are shorter projects and longer projects.
One of the things you do in part of planning is break the project itself, number one, into milestones, and then number two, into what they call these work packages. So a work package is a specified type of work. So I'm going to build the handlebars on the bike. That's a work package. You know, the milestone is I have handlebars. Now, do my handlebars meet my specifications? So once you build those into those little work packages, then you estimate how much time that package will take. So that's where you can kind of get an idea of how long it will take overall, because you sort of add up all those little pieces of work.
And you can estimate that ahead of time, right?
Yeah. And then you get into the monitoring. That's when you actually start to build the bicycle. You say, well, did it take me the amount of time I expected to build the handlebars? And if it didn't, why? Was it I just did a bad estimate, or was the quality bad and I had to go back and redo it? You know, why did that one thing happen? So you're always looking at the little pieces of the project instead of the project as a whole to keep yourself on track.
So when everything is said and done, project is completed, how do you determine whether it was successful? Is it all the boxes checked, stayed within or under budget, bicycle rides, you know, bicycle functions? What is a successful, how do you determine a successful project?
A measure of a project success is customer satisfaction. Does the person buy the bike? Or is the customer that, or the city that ordered the hospital or whatever, like the hospital? That is the number one thing. The other side of it is, so the question is what they call the deliverable acceptable, but then was a project cost effective? Did you go over budget? So you could have the most beautiful hospital, the most beautiful bike in the world, but if it cost you twice as much as what you expected, it wasn't successful, but at least the customer liked what you wanted. And that actually gets into what we call gold plating. You know, it's putting in extra parameters that the customer likes but didn't require. So that's one thing it's so easy to do. If you're in a project, you know, you're going to put a special bell on the bike, more than the bell that they wanted. Well, that's going to just cost a little more time, a little more expense, and all those little things add up. That's where it's watching throughout the process of the project, the life cycle of the project, watching all the time to make sure you're staying within the boundaries that you set during the initiating and planning phase. So, you know, gold plating or scope creep is another thing we hear a lot of. Is, you know, just these little areas here and there, you've just gone slightly beyond what you had to do, but at the end of the day, those add up.
I suspect that you have managed a lot of projects. What is the main lesson that you've learned from it?
Be flexible and keep an eye on the little things. Those are the two things. Being flexible means no matter how well you plan, something will happen or things will happen, or because you're working with people. People are not, you know, they're not going to work according to plan. They're people. So you have to be adaptable to what goes on and be able to adjust as you go. And then I think, too, is watch the little things, because the little things add up and they become big things.
All right, that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.